pull out those swords and go to 2 Timothy chapter 3. 2 Timothy chapter 3. Oh, yes, yes. Oh, the glory. Thy kingdom come and thy will be done on earth as it is in heaven. Oh, remember we used to say the Our Father's Prayer and really take it for granted? You know, go say a few Our Fathers, you know. But we really didn't get it. You know, we didn't understand what was happening. That God's wanting his kingdom be manifested on earth. Starting at verse 1, but know this, that in the last days perilous times will come. I mean, you all know that there's perilous times. For men will be lovers of themselves. Lovers of money. Boasters. Proud. Blasphemers. Disobedient to parents. Unthankful. Unholy. Unloving. Unforgiving. Slanderers without self-control. Brutal. Despisers of good. Traitors. Headstrong. Haughty. Lovers of pleasure rather than lovers of God. Lovers of pleasure rather than lovers of God. Having a form of godliness, but denying its power, and from such people, turn away. You know, it's pretty powerful because it's talking about selfishness, covetousness. It's talking about pleasure seekers. Do anything and say anything they want. They have a form of godliness, but they're actually, what the Bible talks about is false prophets. They have a form of godliness. They claim to be believers, but yet their hearts are not right. A form of godliness. They learn intellectually, biblical intellects, but the heart's not right with what their thoughts are. It's another way. Does everybody understand this?
Amen.
That's a form of godliness. It says, but turn away, for this sort are those who creep into ministries. Hello. They make captives of individuals with sins and lead them away with various lusts. At that period of time, it was households. Now it's fellowships. Always learning and never able to come to the knowledge of the truth. They're always learning. Right? Always learning, but can never come to the knowledge. It's talking about last days here. Which is very important because it says in the last days, and we are in the last days, and every one of us is seeing this. In fact, everyone in this room has had a part in this. Amen? All of us have had a part in this. Become intellects, aspects of things that are taught and hold on to, but not really allowing it to manifest into the heart to heart. You know, the Lord even says, many come to me worshiping me, but they worship me with their mouth and not in their heart. Amen? They come against the truth because it says here that they come with various lusts. They know the knowledge, but they're always learning, but they can't hold on to the truth. That's Antichrist. They know, but they can't. They're always learning, but they can't grasp the truth because something is there preventing them from really coming from here to here into the heart. Amen? They become disqualified as a believer. That's why he says they have a form of godliness, but stay away from them. They become disqualified as a believer. And look at it, if you go a little bit further, it says, now as Jannes and Jambres resisted Moses, so do these also resist the truth. Now it's the spirit of truth. Do you understand that? Men of corrupt minds disapproved according to the faith or concerning the faith. They are disapproved, they are disqualified as a believer. But they will progress no further, for their folly will be manifest to all, as theirs already was. So understand it, it's going to come to pass, isn't it? It will be manifested. And sometimes we get into this circumstance where we become into this place where we can't grow any further. Where we can't go any further. And it's because there are certain things that are hindering us. The Bible tells us to make no provision for the devil. This is about the last days. And we are in the last days. Go to 2 Peter chapter 3. one of the reasons why we can't grow any further is because self is still in the way. Amen? Self is still in the way. Me, myself, and I. Oh, to God be the glory. 2 Peter chapter 3. Everybody there?
Amen.
Starting at verse 1. Beloved, I now write to you the second epistle, in both of which I stir up your pure minds by way of reminder. See, it's our responsibility to stir ourselves up. Amen. That's why the Bible tells us in the book of Jude to stir up your most holy faith by praying in the Holy Ghost. It's our responsibility to stir ourselves up. He says so that stir up your pure minds by way of reminder, that you may be mindful of the words which were spoken before by the holy prophets of the commandment of us, the apostles of the Lord and Savior, knowing this first, that scoffers will come in the what? Last days, walking according to their own lusts, and saying, where is the promise of his coming? So these were believers, weren't they? If they knew about his coming, they were believers. For since the fathers fell asleep, all things continue as they were from the beginning of creation. For this they what? Willfully forget. In other words, they make the choice to forget. That by the word of God, the heavens were of old, and the earth standing out of water and in water, by which the world that then existed perished, being flooded with water. So what they do, they willfully forget what happened by the judgment of God, which happened in the time of Noah. Amen? They willfully forget things that have happened. They willfully forget. Alright? Now go to 1 Timothy chapter 4. I want to talk about something was on my heart today, and the Lord put on my heart. He says, the teaching is called Evidence of Drifting Away. Evidence of Drifting Away. In 1 Timothy chapter 4. Does everybody understand we're in the last days? So does everybody understand that these things are happening? Amen? 1 Timothy chapter 4. See, the enemy must be continually exposed. Everywhere Jesus went, he exposed the enemy. He must continually be exposed. If he's not continually exposed in your life every single day, that means he's got a place. Is everybody with me? If he's not being exposed, he's got a place. Because he's not going to sit and wait on you. He's going after you. Amen. Every day he comes after me and you. The Bible says when an unclean spirit leaves an individual, what does it do? Go get some more. And they come back. You know, we begin to lose sight about that again. So Paul, what did Paul do? He said, man, this is the second letter I'm going to write to you. I'm going to remind you of this. We're going to continue to remind you of this, he said. Listen, you got to stir yourself up so that you have a pure mind, so that you'll be mindful of things above, not caught up in the things of the earth. And in 1 Timothy chapter 4, is everybody there? In verse 1, would you read it with me? Now the Spirit expressly says that in the latter times some will depart from the faith, giving heed to deceiving spirits and doctrines of demons. Now, deceiving spirits and doctrines of demons. It means what you listen to. Amen? What you listen to. We've talked about this many times. You're going to hear it over and over and over. Because too many times we lose sight that we're fighting one another. We lose sight that we're fighting our boss. We lose sight that things have happened and it's somebody else's problem or it's their fault. Does everybody understand that? See, it's our responsibility to stir ourselves up so we can stay in the Spirit, isn't it? It's our responsibility, not God's responsibility, ours. See, we've got to come, listen, Jesus came preaching the kingdom of God is upon you. I'm telling you, an apostolic ministry that God is forming and preparing because the church is turning apostolic. And that means that the kingdom of God, the power of God Almighty will be exposed. It will be manifested through the vessels of God. And just like what we've heard before, and it's not about an intellect. It's about a relationship. It's got nothing to do with how much you know. Does everybody understand it? It's where you are with Him. That's where it's at. Where you are with Him. God is moving quickly. Time is running out more and more and more. Days are wasted. They're just buzzing by. We are in the last days. He's depending on me and you. He's depending on us to fulfill the call. He's depending on us to get in position. He's depending on me and you. We have a tremendous responsibility to fulfill the call in our life.
Amen.
Because when this is all over with, none of this is going to matter to you when you stand in front of Him. Everything that you didn't do or you should have done will be reminded to you. And you will be rewarded on the things that you were obedient to according to His Spirit, not according to your desire or your flesh. Everything else will burn. So there is a move of God's presence. He's going to move through His body before He comes. His body will manifest first, then He will come. Everybody understand that? And it says, listen, in the latter days, all of these things are going to happen. There's going to be selfishness, there's going to be covetousness. It's going to get worse. Man, I love talking to unbelievers out there. My wife and I came out of, we were ministering in the jail this morning. Yeah, it was this morning. And we come walking out. Well, before we went in, there was this couple there, and they were waiting for their daughter to come out of the jail. She had been arrested for stuff, you know. And she was all freaked out, and she was trying to think of ways to keep her daughter home, this, that, whatever. And of course, I couldn't stand there and hear that any longer. And so I began to share with her a few things. And, you know, God set the whole thing up for the mother and the father to get ministered to. So I shared with her, I said, you know, you're here to pick your daughter up? I said, she says, yes, but they don't have her on the list. I said, don't worry about it. It'll probably be about 6 to 12 hours. So the officer told them to go eat something. So Kate and I went in and ministered for 2 hours, and we came out. And they just came back in, and we got to sit and minister to them again a little bit and share what was going on. And so that they expect. And one of the things that was shared with them is, look, at you stop and look around what's going on in the world today. Are things better or worse? Worse, they said. I said, isn't that a sign to you? I said, you know, this is no coincidence about, it's not about your daughter. God is speaking to both of you. He wants you guys to get right. You know, He wants you to realize the time and the season of what's going on. You know, but it was very powerful. And that's what it's about. You look around the world, we can't deny that things are getting worse. We can't deny that we are in the last. Even unbelievers know that something's about to happen. Even they know. But see, we can't lose that sight. We can't take those thoughts and just stuff it under the rug and go about our business. We got to be about His business.
Amen.
That's what God is asking us to do. So there are things that's going to cause, our powers of darkness are going to try to cause you to drift away. And we want to talk about some of the evidences of drifting away. Go to 2 Peter. Go to Hebrews chapter 2. Glory to God.
Glory.
Hallelujah.
Hallelujah.
And to Him be the glory. The first four verses, would you read it with me? Hebrews chapter 2, 1 through 4. Therefore, we must give the more earnest heed to the things we have heard, lest we drift away. Now, this is very powerful. He said, we must give more earnest heed to the things we have heard, lest we drift away. For if the word spoken through angels proved steadfast, and every transgression and disobedience received a just reward, how shall we escape if we neglect so great a salvation, which at the first began to be spoken by the Lord and was confirmed to us by those who heard Him. God also bearing witness both with signs and wonders, with various miracles and gifts of the Spirit, according to His own will. So what is He saying? He said, listen, I'm warning you about drifting away. I'm letting you know, I'm warning you about drifting away. And this is very powerful, because one of the things that's going to manifest, one of the major things about drifting away, is we're going to become forgetful. That's the first evidence of beginning to drift away. We become forgetful. I want to share more of this. We become what?
Forgetful.
Forgetful. Go to Deuteronomy 6. Forgetfulness. It's one of the first evidences of drifting away. Forgetfulness. And I'm not talking about losing your memory. Hello? Or we'd all be in trouble. Deuteronomy chapter 6. Deuteronomy. All the glory. Deuteronomy chapter 6 and verse 10 through 12. Would you read it with me? So it shall be, when the Lord your God brings you into the land of which he swore to your fathers, to Abraham, Isaac, and Jacob, to give you large and beautiful cities which you did not build, houses full of all good things which you did not fill, hewn out wells which you did not dig, vineyards and olive trees which you did not plant. When you have eaten and are full, then beware lest you forget the Lord who brought you out of the land of Egypt from the house of what? From the house of bondage. In other words, we begin to forget what he's done. That's the first evidence of beginning to drift away. When you have a sense of being miserable, when you have a sense of woe is me, when you're being led and affected by your circumstances, and you forget what God has done for you, that's a sign and evidence that you're beginning to drift away. Is everybody with me? The first thing that happens is you forget what God has done. You forget where you came from. You forget those nights of crying out to God for help. You forget when those little things and what he began to move on your behalf. You forget what he's done for you. That is the first evidence of drifting away, is that moment you forget what he's done. When you begin to do that, the enemy is there, ready. You know why? Because when you begin to forget those things, some other things begin to manifest. Number one is ungratefulness. Other things begin to manifest. When you begin to forget what he's done. So many things will manifest off of this. It's the first evidence that you begin to forget what he's done. See, because when you forget what he's done, then you forget what he's called you to do. Does everybody understand that? Go to 2 Kings, verse 17. Chapter 17. 2 Kings, chapter 17. Oh, hallelujah. 2 Kings, chapter 17. Hallelujah. Let's see where we're at. Ooh. In verse... let's see. Verse 37. Second Kings 17:37. And the statutes, the ordinances, the law, and the commandments which he wrote for you, you shall be careful to observe forever. You shall not fear other gods. In other words, you should not fear demons. And the covenant that I made with you, you shall not what?
Forget.
You shall not what? Forget, nor shall you fear other gods. But the Lord your God you shall fear. You shall reverence. One of the signs of forgetting, there are so many offshoots of when you begin to forget what God has done for you. You lose
ungratefulness and you lose reverence to God. You lose that reverence to Him. Because if you maintain that reverence to Him, you won't forget. Does everybody understand that? See, the Holy Spirit's always going to try and quicken you to bring to remembrance. David said something very powerful. He said, I remember the great things you've done. Every time he got in trouble. Because he wasn't allowing the circumstance to move him. Because the devil's always going to want to move you. So what he would do, he'd say, he wouldn't forget. He'd remember the great things God has done. So you made a mistake. Are you going to get caught up in it and stay there? And go, woe is me? And then the devil says, okay, I'll give you a little bit. Woe is me. You're no good.
I'm no good.
He says, man, you can't do nothing. I can't do nothing. Then you have flashbacks of when you were, before you were born again, when your mother, your father, or somebody said to you, you know, you'll never amount to nothing. Why don't you be like somebody else and be like your sister, your brother, and then all this other stuff and traumas in your back life. Next thing you go, and you're, I'm also just kill myself. That's what the devil tells you. You know what? I'll start it with forgetfulness. See, God gave us these things to grab hold of. Every day I remember what He's done for me. Hey, there are times when, man, you know, it's like, hallelujah, Lord. You know, there's a sense when you could just take me home right now. I don't know. I can't cop out that way. I got to deal with what's on my table. Does everybody understand that? I got to deal with what's before me. But see, the enemy's going to try and bring all kinds of other stuff to throw on there. See, but if you forget what God has done in the little circumstances and in the big circumstances, you won't overcome the circumstance that's before you. Because the first evidence of beginning to drift away is you become forgetful. And you forgot what He's done for you. And it'll lead to loss of reverence to Him. It will lead to ungratefulness. Oh, hallelujah. Unforget. He said, listen, man. Fear will even begin to creep in. Fear begins to creep in because you have forgotten what He's done for you. Sometimes the Holy Spirit reminds you, remember that touch of God you got that one night? What about that visitation? What about that dream or vision? You know what God has told you. Go to Judges 8. Oh, hallelujah. Judges chapter 8. And verse 33. Everybody there? Would you read it with me, please? So it was, as soon as Gideon was dead, that the children of Israel again played the harlot with the Baals and made Baal-berith their god. Soon as their overseer was dead, they went astray. That, you know what that says? They were dependent on their overseer instead of dependent on their creator. There wasn't that relationship that God required. They forgot. Oh, hallelujah. Thus the children of Israel did not what? Remember the Lord their God, who had delivered them from the hands of all of their enemies on every side. Nor did they show kindness to the house of Jerubbaal, Gideon, in accordance with the good he had done for Israel. So what did they do? They forgot. They lost what God had done for them. And destroying all of their enemies. You know, the Bible says when the flood of the enemy comes in, lift up the high praises of God.
You know, too many high praises are going up, but it ain't to God. Whoa! Or fear. Or grumble or complain. Those are not the high praises of God. Those are high praises of the enemy. He says, lift up the high praises of God. Listen, God will destroy every one of your enemies. You know, the Bible talks about in 2 Chronicles chapter 20 and verse 20, and through it talks about praising and worshiping the Lord. One of the things the enemy loves to do is prevent someone from praising the Lord. Look, that's an evidence right there in itself. If you can't press into God, because the Bible says that light exposes darkness, you picked up a spear, one of the first things you're going to struggle with is praising God. Well, I just don't feel like it. God knows my heart. Yeah, he knows your heart, all right? But he wants you to know what's really there. Amen? Somebody understand it? Man, everybody struggles with that sometimes. Believe me, there's sometimes when I don't feel like praising God, but I know that something's hindering me. But when I get in God's presence, it's like, hallelujah. All right, demon, scoot. Yeah, they love to ride us. We pick them up all the time. They hitchhike, and we gladly invite them in. Free ride? No. They don't leave no deposit. The only deposit they leave is a corruptible seed. Oh, hallelujah. So we've got to continue. The first evidence that happens is we become forgetful of what God has done. You know, we get into the place where we want God to do something now. I want him to do it now. That's what the devil wants. That's how he challenged Eve. And she bit it. I want it now. And if it didn't happen now, then what's the devil say? Where's your God? He doesn't love you. Does everybody get it? Oh, hallelujah. Go to Psalm 9, I believe. Psalm 9. Evidence of drifting away. First thing is forgetfulness. In verse 17, would you read it with me? The wicked shall be turned into hell. Say it again. The wicked shall be turned into hell, and all the nations there forget God. For the needy shall not always be forgotten. The expectation of the poor shall not perish forever. But it says all those who forget God are going to end up where? In hell. Go to Psalm 103. What's the first evidence of drifting away? Forgetfulness. How many of y'all experienced this? If you haven't lift your hands, repent. All of us have experienced this. See, look at it. It's not the circumstance of experience. It's a circumstance that you catch it when you do, when it's happening. Does everybody understand that? That you catch it. Man, you know what? Whoa. You know when the Holy Spirit's going, hey. And we finally get it. Hello. You know? Oh, that was you, Lord? Yes. Did you forget me? Well, you know. You know, I've heard of people going and worship, and they never hear God. They can go worship for days and they never hear God. You know why? Because they couldn't sit still. They had to do something. They were so busy moving, they couldn't sit still. You can't hear God on the move. You hear God when you're still. He doesn't talk to you in that way. He wants your undivided attention.
Hi, Lord. Oh, Lord, I love you. He doesn't talk to you until you're still. When you sit still, then and you sense him walk by you. You sense that breeze come. Or you get revelation, you get vision. When you're still. That's why he says he puts you next to what? Still waters. Where did I say to go? Oh, 103. Thank you, Father. Would you read it with me starting at verse 1? Bless the Lord, O my soul, and all that is within me. Bless his holy name. Bless the Lord, O my soul, and what? Forget not all of his what? His benefits. Oh, man, do you know who you are? The Bible says that you and I have dominion over the water, land, and sea. And air. We have dominion. And you will be challenged. The enemy will challenge you, but if he, you know why he's challenging you? He wants to know if you forgot. Because if he can get you to forget, that means you're drifting. It's one of the evidences of drifting away. See, he's always going to challenge you to see if you can remember. Do you remember your call? Do you remember what God did? Do you understand that? What did he do to Jesus? That was the first thing he said. If you are the Son of God. He wanted to remind him if he was the Son of God or not. If you are the Son of God. But he challenged him to know who he was. Do this. Do that. He didn't have to prove nothing to him, did he? He knew who he was. But he's going to challenge you. And the moment you obey him to prove something, he knows you don't know who you are. Everybody got that. It's so important. Because when you begin to obey the enemy, then he knows you don't know who you are. He just challenged us. And if we bite the bait to the challenge, that means he knows he caused you to forget what God has done for you. He caused you to forget who you are. He caused you to forget the promises and the benefits of God. He caused us to do those things. But you know what? When we acknowledge it, we step back out. We do a Holy Ghost karate yell to the devil. You fool! You tell him to get behind you. You bind him, blind him, mute him, and deaf him, and kick him in the butt out of the way. Everybody got it? See, the whole thing is catching it. It doesn't mean they're... Yeah, you may have bit the bait a little bit of it, as long as it doesn't, you don't follow through. You got to catch it. The thing is when it's gone for a period of time, then you've drifted further and further away. See, one of the things the devil's always going to do when you forget, he's going to always remind you of your past. He's going to try to cause you to think that it's your fault where you're at because of what you've done. And then what comes in is guilt. Condemnation. Low self-esteem. Then he begins to weigh you down. And he shows up with another one. Hey, do you remember this? Here, take this one too. Next thing you know, you're holding all this stuff and you're on your knees for the wrong thing. You're actually on your knees worshiping yourself instead of worshiping him. Because you're crying for you and not for him. Has everybody got it? Oh, hallelujah. Forget not his benefits. Who forgives all of your iniquities. Here's a good one. He gets you to forget that you've been forgiven. He gets you to forget that God forgave you. He heals all your diseases. Who redeems your life from destruction. Who crowns you with loving kindness and tender mercies. He doesn't want you to know about loving kindness and tender mercies. The Bible says his mercies are new every morning. And he abundantly provides and builds up benefits that are waiting for me and you. Who satisfies your mouth with good things so that your youth is renewed like the eagles. I'm telling you, you want to stay young? So that your youth, he who satisfies your mouth with good things. Hallelujah. Amen. You mean hallelujah is going to keep you young? Yes, because if you acknowledge him, his presence is there and his presence will keep you young.
so that your youth is renewed like the eagles. Amen?
Amen.
Oh, hallelujah. What's the first evidence of drifting away?
Forgetfulness.
Forgetfulness. Oh, hallelujah. Ooh. Okay, go to Hebrew something. Come on, get in the spirit and tell me where we're supposed to go. No. Hebrews chapter 3. Oh, to God be the glory. Glory. I keep reading that scripture.
Mm-hmm.
Hebrews chapter 3. It's amazing when the anointing's on you, feel so much better. Once the anointing lives, there you are, flesh and bone. Thank you, Father. I guess I'll just have to stay here and preach for the next 45 days. Hebrews chapter 3 and verse 12. Would you read it with me, please? Beware, brethren, lest there be in any evil, any of you an evil heart of what? Unbelief in departing from the living God. But exhort one another daily. Remember we talked about encouraging one another. While it is called today, lest any of you be what? Hardened through the deceitfulness of sin. For we have become partakers of Christ if, that means that you have to participate, if we hold the beginning of our confidence steadfast to the end. If we hold the what? The beginning of our confidence so that we're not what? Forgetful. While it is said, today if you will what? Hear his voice, do not harden your hearts as in rebellion. Ooh. The second evidence is a hardened heart. The second evidence of drifting away is a hardened heart. I want to share something with you that a hardened heart is an anxious heart. Wants it now. A hardened heart is an anxious heart. Wants it now. And we know that a hardened heart is associated with rebellion and witchcraft. See, when a hardened heart is an anxious heart and it wants it now, it's because it can't wait. Does everybody understand that? You know, one of the things the Lord has taught me consistently about waiting. I love to wait. It gives an opportunity for my eyes to see his hand. You know? Even when I have peace about something that's going to happen, I still love to see what else is going on. Okay, that's cool. If that's you did, no problem. But other than that, he desires us to test things. He doesn't want us to move on every little spur of every desire and every feeling. Oh, what we remember, he knows what we need. He doesn't move on what you want. Most of the time, we think about what we need. So remember, a hardened heart is an anxious heart. Okay? Why? It's because it's hard of hearing him. So a hardened heart is an anxious heart. Wants it now. Go to Proverbs 28. Verse 14. Would you read it with me? Happy is the man who is always reverent, in other words, fearing God. But he who hardens his heart will fall into what?
Calamity.
Go to Romans 2. second evidence of drifting away is a hardened heart. You know, you don't realize your heart's hardened. Because it's gradual. Next thing you know, you find yourself cold. Next thing you know, you find yourself controlling. And it's associated with fear. Trying to fix everything instead of trusting in God. The heart becomes hardened. I want it now. This is how I want it done. Well, this is what I believe God wants, the way He wants it. Does He want it in that attitude? Does He want it in that motive? See, all of those things are associated with the way what God wants. Because there are certain ethics of God. And they must follow according to His ethics. If they're not according to His ethics, it's not Him. Romans chapter 2 and verse, 5. Would you read it with me? But in accordance with your hardness and your impenitent heart, you are treasuring up for yourself wrath in the day of wrath and revelation of the righteous judgment of God, who will render to each one according to his deeds, eternal life to those who by patience continue in doing good, seek for glory, honor, and immortality. But to those who are self-seeking, I want it now, and do not obey the truth, but obey unrighteousness, indignation, and wrath, tribulation, and anguish on every soul of man who does evil, of the Jew first, and also the Gentile. But glory and honor and peace to everyone who works what is good, to the Jew first, and also to the Greek. Praise God. Now go to Hebrews chapter 5. Evidence of drifting away. The first evidence is forgetfulness. The second evidence is a hardened heart. Hebrews chapter 5 and verse 9. And having been perfected, he became the author of eternal salvation to all who, what? Obey him. Called by God as high priest according to the order of Melchizedek, to whom we have much to say and hard to explain, since you have become what? Dull of hearing. For though by this time you ought to be teachers, you need someone to teach you again the first principles. This is not a skip in the tape. Of the oracles of God. In other words, they forgot. And you have come to need milk and not solid food. For everyone who practices only of milk, partakes of only milk, is unskilled in the word of righteousness. For he is a babe. There's a lot of 30-year-old babes in Christ. But solid food belongs to those who are full age. That is, those by reason of use have their senses exercised to discern both good and evil. They're able to what? Discern. So the third thing that is evidence, the first one is forgetfulness, the second one is hardened heart, the third one is dull of hearing. Dull of hearing. Wanting to stay a babe instead of growing up. They are not only dull of hearing, they are dull of understanding. And they begin to lose focus. Lose focus. Oh, hallelujah. Acts 28. Is everybody okay? Are you getting this? Remember, the enemy's being exposed, right? Acts 28, verse 25. Acts 25. So when they did not agree among themselves, they departed after Paul had said one word. The Holy Spirit spoke rightly through Isaiah, the prophet, to our father, saying, Go to this people and say, hearing you will hear and shall not understand, and seeing you will see and not perceive. For the hearts of these people have grown dull. Their ears are hard of hearing, their eyes they have closed, lest they should see with their eyes and hear with their ears, lest they should understand with their hearts in turn, so that I should what?
Heal them.
So that I should heal them. This is where that deception of dull of seeing. Does everybody understand that? Dull of seeing, dull of hearing. Now you got to understand something. When we come into that circumstance, as we begin to drift away, what it does is it also puts us in the place where the whole body is affected. Not only your physical body, but the spiritual body. Because see, when one lags behind, the rest of the body has to shift to, because it's not fulfilling its part, is it? Does everybody understand that? The body has to shift. Did you ever try to drag somebody? Let me see if I can put that in a better sense. You know, pulling a wagon to load it up. You know, the more you unload the wagon, everything is doing its part. If it's not doing its part, it's a lot of weight carrying. And it drags the body of Christ. Because not everybody's doing its part. And even if it's the little part, in other words, it doesn't mean that you're fulfilling your fullness of call. You know what I'm saying? It means that you're doing your part right now. That's all it is. You don't have to, you're supposed to be doing your part right now. You're not doing it, you're not waiting to do your part. You're doing it right now. Right now. Well, I don't know what I'm going to be when I grow up. I don't know either. I don't know what I'm going to be when I grow up. But if this is what God has given me right now, so I do my part. You do your part. If it's the only thing that God is telling you to do is come to the anointing services and Bible studies and so forth, you do your part. If He's asking you to clean your room, whatever it is, you are faithful to do your part. It doesn't matter. As long as you're doing your part, it causes growth to the body. But if you know that you're called to do something and you refuse to do it, it's because you're dull of hearing. And that's associated with the other two, forgetfulness and hardened heart, isn't it? Amen? See, it gets worse, doesn't it? It begins to get worse. We get further and further drifted away. Because this is the beginning of evidence of drifting away. Oh, hallelujah. Is everybody okay?
Amen.
Go to James chapter 1. James chapter 1. Oh, the glory. Can you get out of it?
Yeah.
Of course you can. How? Repent.
Yeah.
The blood goes first, then the Spirit comes. And then that's where Jesus said, go back to you, the first thing I told you what to do. You can't repent and not go back and finish what God has asked you to do. Amen? Oh, James chapter 1. Glory to God. In verse 26. Would you read it with me? Is everybody there?
Amen.
Oh, hallelujah. Everybody loves this verse, right? If anyone among you thinks he's spiritual, if anybody among you thinks he's spiritual and does not bridle his tongue, but deceives his own heart, this one's spirituality is useless. Pure and undefiled spirituality before God and the Father is this, visit orphans. In other words, you're denying yourself, aren't you? Widows and their troubles, and to keep oneself unspotted from the what?
World.
From the world. He who thinks he's spiritual but can't control his tongue, it's called deception. One of the things that you'll find as you begin to drift away, evidence of drift, your tongue will begin to manifest. Amen? It seems like you had dominion over it at one time, then all of a sudden it's got dominion over you. Does everybody understand what I'm saying? At one time you had dominion over your tongue. The next thing you know, your tongue has got dominion over you. Okay? Now look at it. Go to chapter 3 in verse 8. Would you read it with me? No man can tame the tongue. So you can't tame your, you can't tame it. Only by the anointing of the Holy Spirit can you take dominion over that little thing. That little thing that starts fires, causes division, brings self-imposed curses, curses everybody else. I mean, think about that little thing causes a problem, man. That's why David cried out, put a guard over my lips and my tongue. He realized. So when you blow up, what do?
Repent.
You repent. But no man can tame the tongue. It is an unruly evil full of deadly poison. With it we bless our God and Father, and with it we curse men who have been made in the similitude of God. Out of the same mouth proceed blessing and cursing. My brethren, let these things ought not to be so. So the fourth thing that we can find out of our evidence of drifting away is the tongue. The tongue. Backbiting and gossip, coarse jesting, all of those things are associated with evidence of drifting away. Proverbs 13. Proverbs 13. No tongue show glory. So we have the first evidence is forgetfulness. The second evidence is a hardened heart. The third evidence is a dull of hearing. The fourth evidence is an unruly tongue. Proverbs 13 and 3. Would you read it with me? He who guards his mouth preserves his life, but he who opens wide his lips shall have what?
Right.
Amen. 1 Peter chapter 3. Oh, to God be the glory. Hallelujah. 1 Peter chapter 3. Verse 10. For he who would love life and see good days, come on, read it with me. Let him refrain his tongue from evil and his lips from speaking deceit. Let him turn away from evil and do good. Let him seek peace and pursue it. For the eyes of the Lord are on the righteous, and his ears are open to their prayers. But the face of the Lord is against those who do evil. Accusers, blame others. They begin to justify and they begin to compromise. Does everybody hear that? They begin to blame others for their stuff. See, you know when somebody's drifted away. They begin to blame everything else for what they've done. They begin to compromise. In other words, justification and compromise are similar, aren't they? They begin to justify. They begin to reason in their mind what they've done is okay. They begin to look at, you know, I get a lot of people that come in, well, I'm not using it anymore. I'm not drinking anymore. I'm just fornicating. But I'm different. Is everybody on? That's justification and compromise, isn't it? God has set borders for me and you to walk in. See, you know when you're getting close to that border. You know when you're going over the other side. That's unless you're dull of hearing. See, you begin. The first thing he begins is you forget what he's done. You forget who you are. You become hardened. You become hard of hearing, hard of seeing, hard of understanding, dull. Then the tongue gets looser. See, what the enemy now does is start to bring more self-imposed curses on you so he can get access to you. He likes you to gossip. Why? Because when two or more are gathered, he's in the midst. He likes you to touch and agree so he can begin to cause division and destroy the temple. His whole purpose is out to kill, steal, and destroy us, isn't it? Oh, hallelujah. Jeremiah 17. Jeremiah 17. Now, when I talk about dull of hearing also, I want you to understand something. That the enemy will and dull of seeing, he wants to prevent you from seeing things through. Does everybody understand it? In other words, whatever your decision is going to be, whatever you're going to speak, what the next thing you're going to do, he wants to keep you short-sighted so you can't see what the effect is going to happen. How many times you did something and go, man, I shouldn't have done that. I didn't realize it was going to affect that person or this person or that or the whole company or this. Because what he does is that drifting away has already begun. Because what he tries to do is he tries to dull us, he tries to blind us, he tries to deceive us so we can't see what we're about to do is going to affect others and bring our record, come right back into us as we're going to reap. Remember, he's not stupid. He's the most cunning beast God created, didn't he? He's trying to get you to sow to the flesh, isn't he? So you can reap corruption. In Jeremiah 17 and verse 5, thus says the Lord, curses the man who trusts in man and makes flesh his strength, whose heart departs from the Lord. For he shall be like a shrub in a desert and shall not see when good comes. In other words, he's going to miss God. Why? Because he's trusting his own strength and his talents and his own wisdom. Does everybody understand this? This is so important. Curses a man who trusts in man. People become men pleasers instead of God pleasers. For he shall be like a shrub in a desert and shall not see when good comes, but shall inherit the parched places in the wilderness in the salt land which is not inhabited. But blessed is the man who trusts in the Lord and whose hope is in the Lord. For he shall be like a tree planted by the what?
Water.
Hallelujah. Which spreads out in its roots by the river. And will not fear when he comes or when trouble comes or circumstances come. He will stand. He will not drift away. He won't try to run to fulfill the flesh. He won't try to run to fulfill a presence. He will go to the throne and not the phone. But its leaf will be green and will not be what? Say it again. It will not be what?
Anxious.
In the year of drought, nor shall cease from yielding fruit. Well, evidence of drifting away as an individual, when you begin to trust in your own strength, when we begin to become men pleasers, what happens is we actually begin to move ahead of God, we lose the trust in God. Does everybody understand that? People become, in this area, we begin to come under the law and abuse the freedom of the Spirit. We come under the law and begin to abuse the freedom of the Spirit. Because what we're doing already, we're justifying, aren't we? We're beginning to compromise. We're come to that place, well, listen, I can... It's freedom of the Spirit. I know it's not religion and whatever, but we come under the law by justifying that we're okay and we're good. And because of what we do. Does everybody understand it? Well, I did a good deed, so I used to run into individuals that would go out there and preach the Word of God and then go out and do dope the next day. They were justifying, weren't they? Amen? Does everybody understand that? They begin to abuse the freedom in the Spirit. They put themselves under the law. Think about this. They begin to trust in their own strength, their own talents. In fact, they come to the place where they begin to become their own judgment in that area of justification to where tithing becomes a problem. Offerings become a problem. Why? Because now fear has come in, isn't it? Well, man, how can I tithe if I've got How can I give an offering if I've got... Do you understand? So God is no longer first anymore in trusting. Come to that place where now trusting in man. Trusting in man. But, you know, when we first began, hey, man, let's do a tithe. Yeah, praise God. I don't care. You know, hallelujah. Then all of a sudden, whoa, why? Because we begin to drift away. And that evidence of drifting is getting more. Now we're specific. I'm telling you, I've gotten checks that were $17.25. Specific on the tithe. Right to the penny. I'm surprised I didn't get someone a half a penny in the offering. Cut in half. They come right to the penny. Far be it that they should go above it and round it off. They'll go below it and cheat God. And they don't realize that whole tithe didn't count. Because they cheated God. Does everybody understand this? That's part of that drifting away, isn't it? You know, you pay God's bills, he'll pay yours. Oh, hallelujah. Self-confidence is one of the evidences in that area. Trust in our own strength, we become what? Self-confident. Amen? Go to Luke 22. Luke 22. And verse 31. Luke 22 and verse 31. And the Lord said, Simon, Simon, indeed Satan has asked for you that he may what? Sift you as wheat. Hey, you think Satan's asking for you to sift you? You betcha. But I have prayed for you that your faith should not fail. And when you have returned to me, so the Lord knew, strengthen your brethren. Why? He said, I know you're going to go through it, but I know you're going to make amends. I want you to share, because what was Simon doing? Self-confidence. But he said to him, Lord, I am ready to go with you, both to prison and to death. And Jesus said, I tell you, Peter, the rooster shall not crow this day before you will deny three times that you know me. He was like, he shrugged that right off. See, he had already drifted away. Even when the Lord was in front of him, he had already begun to drift away. Why? Because it became self-confidence. Isn't that what Satan did in the throne room of God? He became self-confidence. Because he knew the things of God. And he knew how to operate in the things of God. But it only took that one decision to become self-confidence. And he denied the Lord three times. So everybody got it? Glory. Psalm 1. And the sixth and final one I want to talk about tonight. Six meaning what?
Man.
Hallelujah. Evidence of drifting away. The first one is forgetfulness. The second one is hardened heart. The third one is dull of hearing. The fourth one is trusting in own strength. Tongue. The fourth one is an unruly tongue. And the fifth one is trusting in one's own strength. And the sixth one is ungodly counsel. It'll end all the way to ungodly counsel. Psalm 1. Is everybody there? Oh, hallelujah. Blessed is the man who walks not in the counsel of the ungodly, nor stands in the path of sinners, nor sits in the seat of the scornful, but his delight is in the law of the Lord, and in his law he meditates day and night. He shall be like a tree planted by the rivers of water that brings forth its fruit in its seasons, whose leaf also shall not wither, and whatever he does shall what?
Prosper.
Shall prosper. The ungodly are not so, but are like the chaff which the wind drives away. Therefore the ungodly shall not stand in the judgment or the reward, nor sinners in the congregation of the righteous. For the Lord knows the way of the righteous, but the way of the ungodly shall what?
Perish.
Ungodly counsel acknowledges world standards more than the Lord's ethics. Ungodly counsel acknowledges the world standards more than the Lord's ethics. Morality, giving, humility. Does everybody understand that? You know, the world doesn't have godly ethics. The morality of the world is selfishness. That's their morality, me, myself, and I. Giving. They give to a cause. And don't get me wrong. Some of the causes are halfway decent. But to expand the kingdom of God, an eternal cause they will not give to. A temporary cause they will. They'll support many temporary causes, but they will not give to an eternal cause. Humility. They don't know what humility is, to be humble. They don't know what righteousness is. They only know what good and evil is. The world does not understand those spiritual things. Self always must be promoted. In other words, pride. Has everybody got it? Ungodly counsel always promotes pride. Would you say it with me? Ungodly counsel always promotes pride. And then go to 1 Peter chapter 5. And in verse 5. 1 Peter chapter 5, verse 5. Likewise, you younger people, this does not mean age. Has everybody got it? It has nothing to do with age, you younger people. It's maturity, you younger people. Submit yourselves to your elders. Yes, all of you be submissive to one another and be clothed with what?
Humility.
Humility. For God resists the proud but gives grace to the humble. Therefore, humble yourselves under the mighty hand of God that he may what?
Exalt you.
That he may exalt you in due time. Casting all your care upon him, for he what? Cares for you. Be sober, be vigilant, because your adversary, the devil, walks about like a roaring lion, seeking whom he may devour. Resist him steadfast in the faith, knowing that the same sufferings are experienced by your brotherhood in the world. So everybody's going through it. But may the God of all grace, who called us to his eternal glory by Christ Jesus, after you have suffered a while, perfect, establish, strengthen, and settle you. And what? Settle you. What's he doing that for? So you can hear. I'm going to close at Psalm 119. Six evidences of drifting away: unforgetfulness, hardened heart, dull of hearing, unruly tongue, trust in own strength, and ungodly counsel. Psalm 119. Verse 1. Would you read it with me? Blessed are the undefiled in the way, who walk in the law of the Lord. Blessed are those who keep his testimonies, who seek him with the whole heart. They also do no iniquity. They walk in his ways. You have commanded us to keep your precepts diligently. All that, what? My ways were directed to keep your statutes. Then I would not be ashamed when I look into all of your commandments. I will praise you with uprightness of heart when I learn your righteous judgments. I will keep your statutes. Oh, do not forsake me utterly. That's very powerful. Blessed are the undefiled in the way who walk in the ways or the law of the Lord. And what have we just done here tonight? What we've done is expose the enemy's tactics, haven't we? These are evidences of we beginning to drift away. Amen? If you found yourself in any of these areas, repent. Simple, repent. Let the blood come and then the Spirit come. Amen? You repent. And you ask the Lord to show you what's happening. Why is that happening? Is it pride? Is it anxiousness? Is it because you can't sit still? Is it because you can't hear? Whatever it may be. Is there still some desires that you want to do that's not He wants you to do? You know, just because it's not an ungodly desire, and I want to re-express this, if it's not an ungodly desire, doesn't mean it's a godly desire. Amen? Because the Bible tells us that there are things that are not edifying. I mean, it doesn't mean it's bad for you, but it's not edifying. It could turn to be bad for us. Amen? So these are evidences of us beginning to drift away in that area. And that's one of the ploys. Remember, we're in the last days, aren't we? You know that there's something we're supposed to do in our spirit. So many times when we're out there, remember something. We do not walk with God on a need-to-know basis. We walk with Him on a trust basis. We walk by faith, not by sight. Amen?
Amen?
We walk by faith, not by sight. Now may the Lord bless you. May the Lord keep you. And may the Holy Spirit quicken you and remind you of the evidences of drifting away. And every foul, unclean spirit that's been exposed here, we bind, blind, mute, and deaf and command to leave the people of God in the name of Jesus. And we apply the blood of Jesus on the seed that's been imparted by the Holy Spirit tonight. That it would grow and bear fruit for your glory, my Lord. Lord, establish us to be sons and daughters that are pleasing to you. Grant us the revelation and wisdom and knowledge from your throne room that we may discern when the enemy is causing us to drift away. And forgive us, Master, for touching and agree with any of these evidences of drifting away. We sever them from us. We renounce them. And we break and loose ourselves from them. And we bind ourselves to the Anointed One and His anointing, because with the Spirit of the Lord there is true freedom in Jesus' name. And everybody said amen?
Amen.